It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
That's right. We're here for Green Country Gardener, always one of my favorite programs to do on Saturday mornings. One of the things I look forward to is spending some time with Larry Glass. Always have a good time when you're here, and glad that you're out here this morning with us.
Ah, that's good.
All right. So
perfect.
We're working the headphones. We got it all set up. I own 30 seconds here, so we'll go through that. And a brisk 31 degree.
Hey, 31 degrees is a lot better than 11.
That's true. Beggars can't be choosers.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't have to wear my warmy coveralls today.
Yeah, only the medium ones. And you mentioned right before, and I want to note, you said you started this program in 2002.
Yes.
You've been doing this for a long time, so you're kind of used to the changes in temperatures so drastically here in Oklahoma.
The only thing consistent is change.
That's fair enough. And so when we take a look at the temperatures, it wasn't terribly warm last week.
No.
But it was mildly
warm. It's average, right.
And then all of a sudden, yesterday, possibly Thursday, today, it dropped significantly. It was about 11 yesterday.
Yeah.
Does that affect our plants?
It does to a degree. It does to a degree. It does affect our plants primarily because we've had a lot of dry weather, mm-hmm. and the plants really need that water to keep them going in the winter. Mm-hmm. So if you really value your plants, you might want to go out and water your plants. It's going to be rather mild today, this afternoon, mm-hmm. and tomorrow it's going to be beautiful. And Monday, oh golly, it's like Florida. But
bring your shorts and flip-flops.
Exactly. So we want to make sure your plants are well watered, because if it gets really warm and windy and all that, your evergreen plants especially will dry out very quickly. So if you don't have a good layer of mulch over your ground, you probably should go ahead and water, especially also around close to the house too, because that's where it gets, unless you have, if you don't have gutters, it's probably not much of a problem. Mm-hmm. It just drips down when it rains, but but if like most people in town, you do have gutters around your house and the water doesn't drip onto there, then chances are you're a little bit on the dry side close to the house. So my advice would be this week to go ahead and apply water. Hmm. And if you have a sprinkler system, turn it back on and run it around and let it go. If you had a sprinkler system installed by us, you don't have to worry about it. Hadn't been cold enough to affect it. So just turn it on and let it go. So.
Well, perfect. Well, it drops to about 22 tonight, and so yeah. It goes below freezing. Is that something to be concerned about when watering, or?
Not really, no.
Not terribly cold enough for anything.
Yeah, you want to avoid, you don't want to avoid watering while it is cold.
Sure.
Because, of course, the leaves will ice up and they'll just kind of fall off or whatever. So it's not cold enough right now. It's 31
right now.
31 on that thing, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. So it is a little chilly right now, but I don't think anybody's going to be out watering the plants right now.
Right.
So this afternoon would be a good time to do that.
And the water will absorb before it freezes
right.
again.
Now, that's the primary reason why we have damage on our plants when it gets cold. Mm-hmm. Now, a while ago, we had a kind of a dry period like this. We had a little bit of rain, not much, but a little bit of rain before it got really, really, really cold. And I was looking at observing some people's houses, and boxwoods especially. Boxwoods, pretty rough, pretty hardy plants, pretty tough, mm-hmm. hardy plants. And those that were by the downspouts were green and pretty. And the others, a lot of them had actually died. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty good reason to go ahead and water. Because it takes a lot of money to replace those plants. They don't grow on trees, you know.
So definitely needing water.
So I can't emphasize it anymore. On the other hand, it is a good time to plant trees in the landscape. The growers have been a little bit late getting their plants out of the ground. It's been so warm, then it got cold and it's dry. And the tree growers, especially on the big trees, they can't get them out of the ground. The ground is too dry. If you dig a plant, if you understand how they're dug, you dig a trench around and take a shovel and dig them up if you don't have a mechanical digger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the smaller trees, they don't have mechanical diggers. They have people with backs. that dig them out, the root balls will tend to shatter because it's cold. Shatter meaning the soil just falls apart and the roots are exposed. Mm-hmm. And that's just a death certificate right there for the tree. So there's a little bit of a time lag in getting new stuff in right now. So you have to bear that in mind also when picking up trees and available inventory. We haven't brought any in because simply they're just not ready. Mm-hmm. So they can't get them out. So, but it is good time. We do have some trees on hand. Mm-hmm. We have some spruce and some pines and maples and elms and so on. So we've got them all tucked away on the south side of the greenhouse where they stay relatively warm so they don't get winter damage. So if you want to come by and look at some trees, one of the people at Green Thumb will go by and show them to you.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the deal with trees. Make sure you water them, especially your new trees. Make sure you water them also. Mm-hmm. Just because they're a big tree and we look at these trees and I say, well, these trees are never watered. Why do I have to water mine? Well, all the roots are just really close into the tree and it dries up very quickly. So you do need to water your trees in the winter. You got a caller?
We do. I believe we have a caller right here. Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Sure. I just have a simple question.
Yeah.
You know the hyacinths that come up in the spring and they have all that green now?
Yeah.
The tall green. Can I separate those or is it too late?
They've developed a feeder root system on them. They're kind of breaking dormancy, but it's probably a product of the weather we're having. If you get a significant amount of soil connected to the roots, they should be okay. And when you do plant them, if you do get separated from the soil, plant them in very moist soil, almost mud, if you will.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. My daughter just has a whole, they're just bunched up, and I need to spread them out.
Yeah, those are probably grape hyacinths. They're kind of short little things. They're just one step away from being a dandelion. I mean, as far as hardiness is concerned.
But they're pretty.
Yeah, I know, but they'll do okay, and they're pretty hardy plants. But just try to, instead of trying to separate the bulbs and planting them individually, try to just take clumps and move them that way.
Okay.
And then they'll make it
that. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
All right, and that's a good time to remind everybody that we are taking calls this morning, and if you would like to speak with the man with the emerald thumb himself, you can do so, ask him any question you'd like. 1-800-749-5936 is the number to call. Again, 1-800-749-5936.
Purple rather than...
Purple, yeah, you've been working hard. You mentioned you've been working hard.
You bet.
Downtown this week.
Okay, yeah, shrubs, kind of the same thing with shrubs. You can plant them now. Some boxwoods and endinas will have some winter damage, but they will survive and do okay. Mm-hmm. Don't be alarmed by leaf damage and defoliation on nandinas. They are very resilient. What I mentioned about the grape hyacinths being related to the dandelions, well, the nandinas are from Mars, so they're pretty tough plants. So they're survivors. You don't want to transplant one right now,
okay.
But they should do okay.
We do have another caller. You want to go ahead and take that? Caller,
sure.
You
go
are
ahead.
On the yeah. air for Green Country Gardener.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Would it be a good time to transplant a tree right now?
A tree? We've had a good hard freeze, so right now would be a great time.
Okay, thank you.
Any time between now and St. Valentine's Day.
All right, Peter.
Yes, depending on the species of tree now. Mm-hmm. But a tree in general right now is a good time.
Any trees that you don't want to?
No, really, right now it's fine, any tree. But once we get into middle of February, first middle of February, mm-hmm. the sap starts to run in maple trees.
Mm-hmm.
And birch trees, sap starts to run on those. So if you want to transplant either one of those two species, mm-hmm. You might want to be expeditious about it.
Okay. Looking at our time, we'll take a quick little break here on the Green Country Gardener, about a minute and a half, and we'll be back right at it again. If you want to give them a call, 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back just a moment.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've got yard fencing augers, you've got lawn aerators, sod cutters, seriously? You've got that kind of stuff there?
Yep, sure do. Use a sod cutter if you need to move some sod from your backyard and move it. We've got the lawn aerator, help your lawn out, and a lot of people are putting in their own fence, and you need the auger to drill your post holes, and in this country there's a lot of rocks, so you need the jackhammer to get through the rock to get your post set. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
It's starting to look a lot like Christmas around Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb has poinsettias now in stock. It's Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias, Norfolk pines, and Christmas cactus. Musical tune, wind chimes, and other gift ideas. For the hard-to-shop-for gardener, get a Green Thumb gift certificate. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Bring the sparkle of the season to your home with holiday lighting from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Hurry in now for a 200-count LED mini light reel for just $12.99 while supplies last. Choose from traditional or C3 bulbs in cool white, warm white, or multicolor. For your convenience, these 51-foot light sets come in a reel for tangle-free decorating. Prepare for the jolliest holiday ever. Stop in for this bargain of the month today, along with other holiday lighting, wreaths, garland, and more. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value. Back for Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. We were talking about shrubs right before we got caller.
Yeah, we were talking about trees and shrubs and kind of how to take care of them this time of year. And that is just make sure they're watered real well. It's the time to do some pruning on your shrubs as well. And crepe myrtles, Rosa Sharons, summer blooming things like that, you might want to consider pruning right now. Mm-hmm. Evergreen plants, you might want to refrain from that. Any heavy pruning. For instance, your boxwood plants, if you do some heavy pruning right now, they'll be ugly all winter long. So you want to reserve the heavy pruning on your boxwoods until later on in the spring. Mm-hmm. Typically about the middle of March, middle of February, middle of March, that time frame. And then they'll bounce back and recover nicely. But right now they just look ugly all winter long. I've got to trim back my Yopon hollies. And actually I have some boxwood that have gotten away from me. You know, when you work.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, I come home, they got big just overnight. Wow.
Is it an easy fix when they get away from you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're very resilient plants. They can be, boxwoods can be cut back.
Okay.
So, and the Yopon holly is the same thing. I trim my Yopons on a regular basis. However, I wait to do the heavy pruning until the middle of February or so. Then they'll bounce back real quickly. I've done that to several people's Yopon hollies. Mm-hmm. One I did last year. And it looked a bit like a deer antler out in the front yard.
Wow.
Actually, two of them. But anyway, and they go, oh, my gosh, this thing looks awful. I said, yeah, it looks terrible. Just wait for about 3 months. And right now, it's like it was 10 years ago. It's small and more compact. But the important thing was the timing on that. And you really don't want to do that too early. You definitely do not want to cut back, say, for instance, a Yopon holly or a regular holly, anything like that. During the middle of the winter, earlier into the fall, because you get a lot of tender growth, and it won't be hardy enough for the winter, and it'll brown out or black out in the heat, or rather in the cold in the winter time. So, just minor pruning right now, some shaping. If you want your Yopon hollies to be somewhat arborescent, you can trim them up from the bottom. That's a popular thing.
Yeah,
they look like little miniature trees in front of the house. So, that can be done anytime. But,
okay.
You don't want to cut them back too far. And like I mentioned earlier, the crepe myrtles can be cut back. And you really don't want to cut them flat across the top. You want to stagger the heights. So you have some low branches and some high branches. The main reason for doing that is you have a thicker veneer of blooms when you do it that way. In other words, so the ones you cut low, they grow up to a certain point. And when it gets to the point where they differentiate into blooms in June, they'll be so high. Well, the ones that are taller will be up here. And so on and so on. So you get more of a vertical display of blooms that way if you stagger the heights of your cutting on your crepe myrtles. So do you hear that, Kevin? Don't use a chainsaw all the way across. Just cut them at different heights. Kind of the same thing goes through with your knockout roses. It's giving time to really cut them back really far too. And you want to stagger the height. So just don't cut them all the way across. Just make them, you could begin and just cut them all the way across to begin with. Get out your power tools and have fun. But you want to follow up with some pruning shears or lopper shears to make them different heights. Kind of the same thing follows through with Rosa Sharon. And viburnums are another one that you might want to do that to also. So that's kind of the deal with pruning. It's getting to be time also to prune back your fruit trees. So I know I have to do mine. I don't want to put it off, but my plum trees, they've they've borne the weight of a lot of plums over the last few years, and there's a few structural issues I need to correct. So that could be seen easily right now. So I need to prune those back. And on fruit trees, you want to make sure you have a pretty well-balanced branch. I had a problem with torque on some of the branches. It was imbalanced, and all the weight was on there, and the branch twists, and the wood splits down the middle when you put torsional stress on it, and it damages the wood and so on. And I have to cut all that off now, which is no big deal. They grow like weeds. keep in mind a balancing of the branches when you're looking up at it and you decide what to prune. If you have a branch coming out and it's real heavy on one side and light on the other side, you want to reduce that on the heavy side, that in order to achieve some sort of balance, so to avoid the torsional stress on your branches on your fruit trees. And also water sprouts, need to cut them off. Fruit trees also, you want to look for borer damage, and you do not want to apply imidacloprid at this point, which is a systemic nicotinoid. You do not want to apply that right now on your fruit trees, because the insecticide will be up into the branch and it'll get into the flowers and cause a lessening of the population of bees when they come to pollinate your trees. So I like to put the nicotinoids on after fruit harvest.
Okay.
And by the time it gets up there and gets rid of the borers and makes its way up to the top, its dilution rate is to the point where it really won't cause any damage. You also have to be conscious of the percentage. We'll get into this later in summer about that. But the concentration of nicotinoid, too, in your fruit trees, not to put too much on there because it resides for a longer period of time in the tree.
Now we're talking about pruning. Is there too much pruning? Is there such thing as too much pruning right now? We were talking about fruit trees specifically.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you can hat rack them, and that's not good. Remember, I talked about hat racking the opon hollies, but that's no big deal. They can tolerate that. But it's a little different on fruit trees. You really don't want to do that. You have to be very selective, and it's difficult to explain over the radio how to do that.
Sure.
So you might look into a book or something. Or one of us or I can go at the nursery and show you on a tree how to clip them back and how to thin it out and so on.
Come visit him. He might not be there. He might be working.
No, I'm always out working. My primary thrust at the nursery is outside the curb.
Somebody will help you.
Somebody will help you out. If Gary's there, he'll kind of show you how to do it.
I think it's always a thing when you're pruning. I think possibly people get a little scared sometimes. Am I pruning too much? Am I pruning too little? Where are they at with that? So it's always
it depends on the plant, too. Yeah. Like for instance, knockout roses and other roses like that, the drift roses, you can cut them as low as you want, and they'll come back just fine. But hybrid tea roses, no. Hybrid teas, you want to trim back right now about knee-high, 18 to 24 inches. And you want to thin out the climbers, the climbing roses, if you have them. Climbing roses come up and they tend to get real bushy and bunchy, and you want to select on those the best looking branches that come up. Those are what we call scaffolds, and they will support the flowers in the spring. You don't want to cut the climbing rose all the way down. You have to leave some height on it. But if there's a lot of stuff just sort of hanging out, you want to start with that and prune it off. But always prune it at a node. A node is a place where a leaf comes out or a branch comes off. So the tissues will heal around that. If you leave a stub, and this is across the board pruning, trees and shrubs and roses or whatever, if you leave a stub over there, it can't heal around that stub. And the little piece of wood there tends to die, that's on the tip, and you have a hole in it, and that's an invitation to fungus and insects, diseases and all kinds of stuff.
Not good stuff.
And then you have to go buy a new plant. But
you're done.
So always cut it. Don't ever leave it. I was at a house and somebody had trimmed back the red bud tree, and there were just stubs. It looked like fingers, little stubs all over the place, and that was improper. So you want to make sure to cut them back properly.
1-800-749-5936. That's the number to call if you want to talk to Larry Glass. We're here for Green Country Gardener this morning, talking about pruning, talking about all sorts of good things.
Okay. Or an ad now, or
we can go ahead and take. We
need to continue on printing though.
Okay.
Anyway, on your major branches. So you've got a tree and you got a big old branch you want to get off. It looks imbalanced. It looks real kind of, you know, bad. So step one, you'll want to make an undercut about halfway into the branch. In other words, you take your chainsaw and you cut upwards for just a little bit, just enough to bog the motor down a little bit.
Sure.
Just enough to go down a little bit. And well above the point where you'll want to make the final cut. This is done so the bark doesn't peel back. This is especially so with elms and maples. They'll have bark peel pretty bad. You know, all the bark falls off and you get the streak. But anyway, step two, make a complete cut above the point where you made the undercut. So you leave a stub about that long over there. And when it breaks off, when you cut it, you notice that it'll break at the point where you did the undercut. Mm-hmm. Or it really won't break off. But if it does break off, yeah, it'll stop at the undercut. In other words, the migration of the broken wood will stop at the undercut. So you do want to cut it past that point. And then you'll have just a little stub, oh, I don't know, a foot long or so, that you can cut off with a chainsaw and not really damage the trunk. But do not leave a stub sticking out. You can cut it flush with the trunk or leave just a little bit on there. It doesn't really matter. It seems like it'll heal up no matter what you do it. I did that on my maple trees years ago, about 3 years ago, and they're all healed up real well. So there's no really sign of any cutting being done over there. Mm-hmm. So if you do it right, they'll heal up quickly. If you don't, you'll have a stub over there and you have diseases and borers and stuff get in there. So you do want to make sure to prune it properly.
No stubs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we got time to take a break here.
And apply dressing if the cut is greater than the diameter of your thumb. There are two schools of thought on that. It doesn't hurt anything to put it on there, but the tree will just encapsulate the tar. But you don't have to put a dressing on it. I didn't on mine, and it's just fine.
Okay. Now it's time.
Now time for
1-800-749-5936. We'll give you the number here for Larry Glass. We are going to take a break. Be back in about a minute and a half here. We got more to talk about.
All right.
On K1.
As you open your Christmas cards this holiday season, each one will be different. Some will be works of art, some traditionally religious, some will bring a smile, but they all share the common desire to reach out to share the happiness of the season. ABS Performance wishes you and your loved ones a most wonderful holiday season. ABS Performance would like to thank their customers for their patronage, and if you need your vehicle checked before your road trip for the holidays, stop by and they'll check and make sure your vehicle is roadworthy. Merry Christmas from ABS Performance.
The smell of fall is in the air. The Friday night football games, cool weather, and the evening cookouts. Mm-hmm. All of this can change in a matter of moments. Protect yourself. Protect your family. With Advantage Benefits from American Heritage Bank, you can provide peace of mind to your family. Visit us at ahb-ok.com to see how we can help protect your family and their futures. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
All right, we are back for Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning, and trying to hold off as long as possible, we'll go ahead and get into it. I think the plant that everybody associates with December and Christmas time, poinsettias. Poinsettias.
Yes. Poinsettia, and no, they are not poison settas. You have to eat about 8 pounds of poinsettia leaves just to get sick, so they're not.
I feel like if you ate eight pounds of any kind of leaf, you probably get sick.
Yeah, even spinach. But anyway, so poinsettias, they're a traditional Christmas plant that will last all through the Christmas season, mm-hmm. and actually a little bit beyond too. We have some people who keep them alive for years.
Wow.
And beyond. So it's important to select the best plant for your home environment. And we have some pointers here on how to pick out a proper poinsettia. Okay.
There are rules. If you didn't win one through our contest, there are rules.
There are rules to follow to pick out the proper poinsettia. Anyway, choose a plant with dark green foliage all the way down to the soil line. Well, that just makes sense. You don't want to bring home something sick.
Sure.
Okay. Choose bracts, which are modified leaves, that are completely colored. Whether they be white or purple, or there are some purple ones out there.
Really?
Yeah. We have one that's kind of a hot pink. It's
I've never seen one that hasn't been.
It's a very strong magenta color, and it has a white rim around it. It's really kind of an interesting plant.
Sounds
I got a
pretty.
Picture of it on my phone.
Sounds pretty.
For those of you with color radio, we can show it to you. But anyway, make sure the bracts are pretty much completely developed. Mm-hmm. That means all the color is filled all the way through. And do not purchase poinsettias with a lot of green around the bract edges. Those are not fully developed, and they might have some problems. There might be some issues with being cold, too cold or something when they were growing.
So green is a color you want to avoid. That's what before they full in one color.
Yeah, on the bracts themselves, mm-hmm. on the petals, if you will, mm-hmm. the red parts or white.
You want it to be completely white or completely red or completely purple.
Maroon or mm-hmm. mixed colors or whatever. They've had a lot of fun with these.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But not green.
Do not choose a plant with fallen or yellow leaves. Look at the soil down below there, and if there's a lot of fallen leaves in it, chances are it's been under stress, and it probably won't do too well in the house. Okay? The poinsettia should look full, balanced, and attractive from all sides. Mm-hmm. If you find one that isn't, well, that might be good if you want to put it on the console table in the entryway. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want one that goes all the way around. Just have it come out halfway. But typically you want one that's pretty much symmetrical all the way around. It's just these are specs from the Poinsettia mm-hmm. Society, whatever. Anyway, the plant should be about 2.5 times taller than the diameter of the container. If it's a 6-inch pot, it needs to be 12, 14 inches tall. Then it'll meet those specifications. You want to look at it real carefully and see if the leaves are drooping or curled, anything at all. And if they are and there's moisture in the ground and they're curled up like that, then you want to avoid that one. Chances are it's been overwatered. Poinsettias are very sensitive to root rot. Mm-hmm. So you want to be careful to pick one out that is not wilting. So
what's a good amount to water them?
Let them dry to the surface between waterings.
Okay.
The best rule of thumb. Okay. Do not purchase plants that are displayed in paper or plastic sleeves. That makes the root rot problem even more, because oxygen can't get down to the roots, and you get a problem with fungus and stuff taking over. They will deteriorate rather quickly because of root loss or so.
So if you're given one, or if it's a gift that came in a sleeve, take it out as immediately as possible from those sleeves?
You can leave it in the sleeve for a fairly long period of time. Mm-hmm. Just be careful not to overwater it. And look at the bottom of the sleeve. And if it's been cut in the bottom, which is something we do, we turn them upside down and give them a cut, mm-hmm. and put them in a saucer. Then the water will have a chance to get out, and some air will have a chance to get in. Now, the saucers typically have, if you will, dimples in them, so mm-hmm. air can get up through into that sleeve. So, okay, do not purchase plants that have been displayed or crowded too close together. Mm-hmm. We have to constantly reconfigure the poinsettias so they breathe properly. We get some in at different intervals, and they all have to be restocked and displayed and spaced properly so they're not crowded out. Lack of light would cause a real bad problem with loss of leaves on your poinsettias.
Are they a sensitive plant when it comes to overcrowding? It's definitely a big possibility.
Yeah.
How much space would
they
say
they get
need?
Shaded out, and that causes the leaves to drop, the lower leaves to drop. Spacing out, you should be able to get your hand in between the plants.
Okay. Yeah. If you have more than one at home, you've been given multiples.
In the house, that rule is kind of off, because it's not getting any light anyway.
That's fair. That's a good point.
So after Christmas and all that, move it to a sunny window, preferably a south or a west window. And it'll last a long time. And then in the spring, if it does happen to survive, you can put it out on the patio. You might want to pot it up into a bigger pot, just so it doesn't blow down the backyard when the wind blows.
Now, why a south or west window?
The maximum amount of light available.
Okay.
If you have a lot of trees around your house and you have a south and west window, well, it'll probably not do that well. So
much sunlight as possible.
If the soil is wet, like I mentioned earlier, if the plant soil is wet and the plant is wilted, this could be an indication of root rot. We got a group of poinsettias in 2 years ago that the grower got the mix wrong. And no matter what you did, you couldn't stop the root rot. And they just kind of went right there in the nursery. Mm-hmm. So we had to replace a lot of two from some contracts we had. So.
Sure.
So that's no big deal. We did it. So now, anyway, so that's the, you want to be careful about the moisture content. Very good.
So if root rot's so common, is it easy to also not water it at all? Does it adversely get too dry?
Water it. Let it dry out between waterings.
Okay.
Poinsettias are euphorbs, and euphorbia plants typically are native to arid, dry areas. So keep that in mind when you're doing your watering, is that this plant is from Mexico.
See, I think that's interesting. I don't think people think about that or realize that very often.
Yeah, native habitat is the southern, Mexican areas.
We assume that
they get to be big trees over there, big old
really?
Things. Oh, yeah. They get to be monsters.
You learn something new. We do have a caller. You want to go ahead and take the caller? Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Excuse me?
You're on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Yes. I've got split pecan firewood for sale.
Oh, wonderful. I need some of that for my smoker.
I think you're calling for consumer calls, which is going to be at 9 o'clock, so about 20 minutes away.
Oh, sorry, I'll wait back a little bit. Okay, sorry about that.
No,
you're
okay.
No, that's fine, yeah.
You're okay. We appreciate you calling, though.
I'm down to the nibs.
Consumer calls coming up at 9 o'clock.
Anyway.
But they're from Mexico. I did not realize
yes,
that.
Yes, they are. They're the Mexican area.
So, obviously more sunlight, the better, but the drier, I guess,
yeah, they like a soil that doesn't stay wet.
Okay.
So, it does, and in their native habitat, they have roots that go way out. Mm-hmm. And, being a member of the euphorbia family, there are droughts. And you can tell it's a euphorbia family by when you break off a stem of any member of the euphorbia family, a white sap comes out. Mm-hmm. So that's how you can tell.
Another caller here on the line. You are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Yes, I like it when Larry cooks. so if he needs any firewood of any kind, all he's got to do is call, and he will be graced.
Oh, wonderful. I do need some, either hickory or pecan. Christmas
well, I've got both, Larry. If
really?
You need some of it, just holler, and I'll get you a pickup load.
Well, I don't need a pickup. I'll bring my pickup over there. How about that?
Well, you just come get all you want there, and how's that work?
Okay. All right.
Thank you, and happy holidays, guys.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you. Well, good. You got a fan.
All right. Yeah.
A good friend.
We had brisket for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It was
he
delicious.
Likes when you cook.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. So poinsettia, we'll have to teach him some poinsettia.
Yeah. Also check out the poinsettia's maturity. Check the true flowers, which are located in the base of the colored bracts, right in the middle of the plant. There's these yellow things, and they look they're kind of closed up. They should be it's the ninth. They should still be closed up at this point. Here in another week or so, they're going to start to open, which is natural. And early on in the Christmas season like this, they should be closed. And I think you'll find that to be at ours. They're pretty much closed up. Let's get a caller.
We do another caller. Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I have a Christmas tree, and it doesn't smell. And I was curious if Larry might know what the differences were between Christmas trees you can buy that have a scent and maybe some that don't.
Well, actually, the Douglas firs and the noble firs have a lot of scent to them. And pine trees, specifically, if you did get one that's a member of the long needle pine, typically they don't have that much of a smell to them.
I the guy told me when I bought it, and he said it was darker than most. It was a darker shade. I don't know if that...
Sounds like a noble fir.
Okay. Very,
kind of glossy, fairly large glossy leaves on it.
I couldn't really tell you for sure.
Okay.
It looks like a regular old Christmas tree to me. It doesn't have the scent to it, and I didn't know if maybe I got some off tree or something.
I don't know. Did you make a fresh cut when you put it in the stand?
Yes.
Okay,
and I was
good.
A little. Now you can't overwater them, right?
No. No, you can only underwater them, especially so when the dog drinks the water out of the stand.
Yeah, I've got the thing full of water, and I was concerned it wasn't drinking for a while, but it's gone through several big cups of water now. And,
okay.
And it's good. It just doesn't have that scent to it. So I was curious.
Huh. Interesting.
What the difference is.
Sometimes on the trees they put anti-desiccants on them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the surface of the leaves at the bottom of the, and it feels kind of waxy, chances are it might have an anti-desiccant on it, which is
gotcha.
Basically an emulsified beeswax, and that could cause the lack of scent.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Appreciate you calling in this morning. Got a couple more minutes before they take our next break. We're talking about poinsettias.
We talked about the flowers on them. Make sure they're not fully in bloom right now. And when you bring your poinsettia home, be sure to have it sleeved and covered if it's cold. In other words, today, it's 31, still 31 degrees
still 31.
Out there. And anyway, if you go into a place and you get a poinsettia, we've got a bunch of paper sleeves we put them in. So take it home in a sleeve. And don't leave it in the car if you're going shopping because it'll probably turn into applesauce. So so you might make it your last stop to get the poinsettia and then bring it on home, and it should do real well if it's delivered home in a sleeve. So that's kind of the deal on poinsettias. As far as watering them, you just water them and let the surface of the soil dry out really well between waterings. And they should do okay. Another way is, if you're very careful, you can put ice cubes on there, and they'll slowly melt, and the water will go in there, and you won't have too much water. That's how I water my house plants at home.
Put some ice cubes.
When I drink a glass of ice water, just throw the ice in the in the plant, and it does fine. So be careful not to put too much ice in it, though, because it will kill the plant.
Yeah, as I say, now cold weather, even though this is a Christmas plant for whatever reason, cold weather, does that adversely affect the poinsettias?
It does. It affects the quality of the blooms and all that. Also, heating vents. You got one of these vents up over here, and you got your poinsettias on it. It tends to dry it out. Your house is basically a big tobacco drying barn in the winter, especially so when it's cold. So you want to try to keep it away from the air ducts. And I think when the air goes through the furnace, it expands significantly, and the water molecules are further apart. Water droplets, humidity droplets are further apart, so there's less humidity coming through. So it does tend to dry out.
So there's, I mean, a lot of things to think about when you're getting these poinsettias this holiday season, and they're kind of a touchy little plant.
They can be. Once they get used to the house, I think they do a little better. Once they get used to your environment and all that, they tend to adapt to it real well. And that adaptation is takes place maybe over a couple of weeks or so, and it'll get used to your lifestyle.
We got another caller. You ready to take that?
Sure, put them on.
Caller, you were on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Well, good morning. I have a question about a little tree I planted this summer. It was just a little stick, and it's just got leaves on it. How do I turn it into a tree? Do I pinch it back and keep pinching leaves off, but it keeps looking like a stick with leaves? So what do I do?
You want to go ahead and get a little height on it.
Okay.
When it gets to maybe about 6 feet tall, you can probably go ahead and what species of tree is it?
It is a crab apple. And I also have a Honeycrisp apple. They're both apples.
Yeah. By nature, they should. Fruit trees typically do that. They grow very vertically and have very few branches coming up. So you want to wait till it gets about 6 feet tall.
And then
when you cut the top off, you want to cut it at a node, and it'll send out a side branch. And it'll probably stimulate some more branches down below. But really, where the tree is now, there won't be any branches on it in the future. You want to get some height on it before you trim it back.
Okay. Well, I need to let it grow up to 6 feet tall. I've just kind of been pinching off leaves at the bottom, thinking it was, to start doing some branches. But it needs to be 6 feet tall first.
Right. Yeah, because everything below 6 feet, typically on trees in the land. Now, depending on the variety of crabapple, too, if it's one that just
who
came
knows?
Up. Oh, okay.
It's
then
little,
then, it's,
I
then
don't know.
It's a.
It came in the mail.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So they will go ahead and develop on their own, but it'll take a little bit. But let it get up to 6 feet, and if there are no side branches on there, you might want to go ahead and clip the tip off of it. So it'll branch
Thank
out
you so
at,
much.
At least
Meanwhile,
once or twice.
It's still alive. That's the good news.
That's good news. You bet.
All right. Thanks for your advice.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. We appreciate her calling in this morning. 1-800-749-5936. Good time. We do have to take another break. Are you okay with doing that? Sure. We'll go ahead and do it. And
we're ready.
We'll come back about a minute and a half. Again, 1-800-749-5936. More Green Country Gardener on the way.
It's starting to look a lot like Christmas around Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb has poinsettias now in stock. It's Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias, Norfolk pines, and Christmas cactus. Musical tune, wind chimes, and other gift ideas. For the hard-to-shop-for gardener, get a Green Thumb gift certificate. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Bring the sparkle of the season to your home with holiday lighting from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Hurry in now for a 200-count LED mini light reel for just $12.99 while supplies last. Choose from traditional or C3 bulbs in cool white, warm white, or multicolor. For your convenience, these 51-foot light sets come in a reel for tangle-free decorating. Prepare for the jolliest holiday ever. Stop in for this bargain of the month today, along with other holiday lighting, wreaths, garland, and more. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Find every project is a true value.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals.
A towable boom cherry picker where you can get up high and do some tree trimming.
Yep, we have two different sizes. Usually keep a 50 and a 34 footer. Just like the big booms, you tow it behind your pickup, you spot it, you can trim your tree, you can paint your house, fix your soffits, whatever works for you. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
All right, we're back here for Green Country Gardener. Number to call for him is 1-800-749-5936, and there is a caller on the line. You want to get straight to that. Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Yes. Did you say that poinsettias in the house should be in a sunny window?
As much as possible, yes.
As much as possible?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've got an east window that's very sunny in the morning.
Okay.
So.
Should do okay, and you can move it to the coffee table or something during the evening, or just stagger it. You move it back and forth. It does need the light to photosynthesize properly. If it can't photosynthesize properly, it will drop leaves.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Other quick question about pecan trees. When do you treat for the little ones?
The little worms.
You're talking about.
Yeah, I did some talking around with some people about that, and that's coming up. Oh, I don't remember exactly when, but it is in the spring when that happens.
Oh, in the spring. Okay.
So I'll have to go back to my notes and see what I wrote down.
Okay.
But I think it's about then.
Nothing imminent.
No, nothing imminent right now.
Okay. What about fertilizing it?
Fertilizing right now, if you had a good crop of pecans, you're probably okay on fertility. But if you had a small fruit or, you know, it's just kind of dumpy looking pecans, you might consider adding a fertilizer with some zinc in it.
Yeah, I've done that several years and that did help. Uh-huh. Very definitely.
Yeah.
But you don't need to do it every year. Mine are somewhat smaller, but I had a lot of worms too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The worms are a big issue, and they're. I think it's springtime is when we really need to be thinking about what to do on those.
Okay.
So I'll pull that up, and we'll have a pecan special next week. How about that?
That would be great. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Maybe pecan pie, too.
Oh, I would not be opposed to that. 1-800-749-5936 is the number to call for him. We've now shifted the pecan pie talk, and you've got me hooked.
Brisket and pecan pie, can't beat that. Anyway, right now we're going to talk about our shrub of the week.
Okay.
This is one that's becoming kind of a workhorse in the landscape, and it's becoming more available, more prominent, and more and used a lot more. And that's a kaleidoscope abelia. Mm-hmm. You say, okay, abelia? That's a plant that gets huge and has these big old branches that come out. Mm-hmm. And it blooms pink all summer long. It has no pests and tolerates drought and wet and all that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
the environmental attributes can't be beat. But however, the kaleidoscope abelia, which is still patented, plant patent number 16,988, has bright golden yellow variegated leaves with a little bit of green on them and some red stems and some red leaves on it too. So all these, as the name implies, it has a whole bunch of different colors on the leaves. In the bright sunshine, it'll develop a real nice predominantly yellow color. with some red highlights in it. And this plant only gets about 2 to 2.5 feet tall. So that's about two feet that tall? Yeah. So anyway, and about 3 feet wide or so. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get to be so big a plant that it's going to outlive its welcome in the landscape. So it stays real nice in the landscape. Once established, you need to really just water it occasionally. And in more extreme heat or in containers, you might want to water it a bit more. Or if we're in a drought period, you'll want to water it too. Imagine we're going to get some defoliation on the kaleidoscope abelias with this dry weather we're having if they're not properly irrigated. But anyway, so you kind of have to watch that. It is considered an evergreen plant, but because of our environment, that's questionable. However, it's a low compact plant. Works very well as a foundation plant. Mm-hmm. Now, I like to use it for color accents, not necessarily as a foundation plant. I think it's a little too busy for that. So for color accents here and there to interrupt perhaps a row of boxwoods or a backdrop of a corner planting of boxwoods or something, or the big green thing in the corner of the house, a holly plant or something, it could be a good preface for that. Mm-hmm. So it's good. I like to use it for color accents, use it with layering of other plants. That's a very effective way to use it, I think. And no insects. No problems. It does great in mass plantings. If you have a large area you want to cover with shrubs, mm-hmm. you plant them 3 feet apart or so, and it'll make a mass planting of a very large. A lot of people have these areas between the sidewalk and the house where they put this curve in the sidewalk, and what do I do with all this space? You know, how do I landscape it?
Sure.
The kaleidoscope abelia would be one as a mid-level, a cover area, if you will. Might put some dwarf nandinas in front of it. The winter contest would be really nice, but it's a very versatile plant. So it's considered to have dramatic foliage color, and it blooms summer through early fall. So it makes a good border, ground cover, hedge, mass planting, or wildlife garden. It likes well-drained, slightly acidic soil, but it will tolerate a bit of a pH shift. If we have an issue with that. If your pH is running up in the upper sevens, mm-hmm. it's probably not your best choice. So you might want to modify the soil with a little iron sulfate or sulfur to lower the pH, or add a significant amount of peat moss to the soil to lower the pH. Then it'll do a whole lot better. You need to protect it when it gets really cold, which we're not going to go out and put blankets on them. They'll just defoliate. So you want to prune it in late winter to early spring and apply a fertilizer in the spring and throughout the summer to maintain it. I like to use milurgonite on this one. Mm-hmm. It seems to have good color response to trace elements in the soil. So the milurgonite, I think, will be a good choice because it does have a lot of trace elements in it. It's a pretty good plant. Very, very, very low care. No insect problems, no deer problems. If you want something colorful in the landscape and you have deer, they won't bother this one. So consider the kaleidoscope abelia.
Kaleidoscope abelia.
Mm-hmm.
Fun name. Looking at our time, we got to take one more break and we'll wrap things up here for Green Country Gardener.
Okay.
1-800-749-5936. Number to call back in a minute and a half.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson. The time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
Fall means mowing on hot days are soon over, but at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, it means great deals on Bobcat mowers. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn has a double engine warranty on all Bobcats in stock. Four Seasons is offering you the best Bobcat warranty in Oklahoma, starting with 5 years, 500 hours, all the way up to 6 years, 2,750 hours on commercial mowers. Now, nobody can touch that. A double engine warranty on your new Bobcat, only at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ula. On 169.
It's starting to look a lot like Christmas around Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb has poinsettias now in stock. It's Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias, Norfolk pines, and Christmas cactus. Musical tune, wind chimes, and other gift ideas. For the hard-to-shop-for gardener, get a Green Thumb gift certificate. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Okay, we're here for Green Country Gardener, and about a couple minutes left in our program this morning. We've talked about a lot of different plants, shrubs, yeah. Poinsettias, all sorts of good stuff.
There's a lot. We also have it at the nursery, mm-hmm. Green Thumb Nursery. We have a lot of, a good selection of house plants too. Mm-hmm. There are some cacti, and the cyclamens are coming into vogue right now. The cyclamens are kind of a little known plant. For the house, it does very well in the house. It's a very hardy plant. It's one that people tend to overwater it because it looks like a plant that needs a lot of water. So you want to let it get a little dry between waterings when you get a cyclamen.
Sure.
We still have a little bit of kale to put outside, but it's getting a little late to plant it. Mm-hmm. So and some pansies too. So if you missed it, we got some Johnnycum Lately plants like that. So we can plant those. Let's see what else we have. Just a good sort of big house plants too, little house plants, mm-hmm. and of course a great selection of poinsettias. Anything from whites to just traditional red to some magentas and other colors, and some leaf variegations too, mm-hmm. that are kind of intriguing on the poinsettias too.
Magentas sound amazing. I want to check them out. Where are you located at? What times you guys open?
We're on Nowata Road, halfway between Madison Road and Washington Boulevard, on the south side of the road. Open 9 o'clock in the morning. Till 5 or dark 30, whatever, at night. 5 o'clock at night.
The sun goes down.
And Saturday we're open today from 9 to 5 and Sunday from 12 to 5.
All right. So you have plenty of time to go check them out. All the poinsettias and stuff. We've talked again, I'm sure we'll talk the next time, about pruning.
Yes.
Prune, but don't trim back too much.
Right. It's that time of year.
That time of year, perfect stuff. And of course, dry. Make sure you water your plants and all that good
stuff. Water your plants real good. And keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Before the ball drops, ensure your special event with Phoenix Insurance, 918-33-